This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio in Coldwater, Michigan. Tonight's stories are led off by, will remote work affect your wages? Facial recognition en masse over the Capitol event. The UFC, yes, the UFC, tells pirates, we're going to come and get you. Spotify is largely sponsoring itself. We'll talk about that. I want to welcome you to episode 1502 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, January 21st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You, and many of you starting to, can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. We've seen a number of you start insider subscriptions. Thank you. Awesome. And of course, you can follow me on Facebook. I want to welcome all new listeners to the show. Thanks for being here. I want to take time to just get over to the primary website where this show originates at geeknewscentral.com. Get subscribed to the show when you're on the website. Of course, make sure you subscribe to the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about tonight. And mailed directly to your inbox so that you'll have a history of all the different shows. Of course, again, you can always come back to the website at geeknewscentral.com. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat. That's a Mastodon chat server on Discord. Also got some cool kids hanging out on Slack. If you want to be part of Slack, just send me an email. You can contact me via email. That's real simple to do. All you got to send it to is geeknews@gmail.com. That's the address to use. And of course, I'm on Twitter as well. At Geek News. All the partner shows are linked at geeknewscentral.com. That includes the New Media Show, The Gadget Professor, Podcast Legends, GNC Week in Review. Lots of great content there. And of course, our Pro Gear Guru site as well. And this show, of course, is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of our podcast, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. We want you to take just a few minutes. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and save some money, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a $499.com for new account holders only, or those of you transferring in domains, or you need a hosting account. This is the best deal, absolutely best deal in the space. $1 a month, yes, $1 a month economy hosting for the first year. Includes a free domain. So $12 gets you a website and a domain name. Cannot beat that. That's cheaper than probably most of you spent for lunch today. $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year. Includes a free domain. Again, $12 gets you up and running with a managed WordPress hosting site. I like those the best. The managed WordPress hosting, they take care of the backups. They update them. Do all the things you need to make sure they stay secure. All for $1 a month. Can't beat it. Of course, when you get to checkout, make sure you select 12 months, not 3 years, because you will pay the full retail price for years 2 and 3. So definitely keep track on what that price will revert to after you're done. You get an option to choosing different levels of service. Also keep that aware. Of course, we've got a free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. That's a 1 month free trial. All my codes, again, can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor of the show. Been here since June of 2005. Thank you so much. And of course, we appreciate your ongoing support. Again, thank for those of you that have started to become insiders. We are going to have the new Insider podcast, and it's going to be a private podcast for contributors to the show and people that are insiders. So hopefully I'll be able to get to work on that this weekend. Start sending out, getting it all set up, number one, and then get you all invited. I want to have one in the can and be able to put in there so that when I send your logins or just go get the app, because that's where we're primarily going to work out of, is the Blueberry Private Podcasting app on iOS and Android. Give you your login credentials, you'll be able to get into the app. But anyway, well, thank all of you that are insiders and all of you that have signed up in recent days to become one. So what is going on here? Well, Kirk was is tonight I did all the show production. Kirk had a run-in with a set of stairs again. He's laid up. So Kurt is out and on the mend. So I hope, Kirk, I hope you feel better. I hope that you didn't get bungled up too badly. But we're going to have to do something about this. This is the second time in January that you've had a tumble downstairs. But I'm glad it was just your ankle and not your arm or hip or something like that. So Kirk is out and on the mend. So tonight I did the show prep, which was fine. Let him rest and recover. This has been a head down week for me. Pretty busy. Lots of kind of fun stuff going on in social as well around podcasting and the history of podcasting. That's a whole story in itself. I'm glad you're all been here for 16 years with me. I appreciate it. But tomorrow I'll be with Adam Curry interviewing on their Podcasting 2.0 show. It's a show you can't find on Apple Podcasts because you have to subscribe to it via the old school way. Just grab the RSS feed and add it to your podcatcher. So I'll be on with Adam tomorrow, and Mike Dell and Mr. Jones, part of the Podcasting Index group. So anyway, that's what's going on here. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing fine. And as I mentioned, we've still got an issue. For those of you that watch the live stream, we still have an issue with the provider, and they are working diligently to find out what's going on. I'll give them a few more days to figure it out, and then I'm gonna pull the plug on them. I was just noticing tonight the one camera. I got to get that adjustment. I'm all bleached out. I need to go and white balance the cameras, and because if you look at this view, I'm too red in this view, so I need to get the lighting worked on a little bit here so it looks better. Of course, this is not a color-coordinated monitor, and when I go and look on the main monitor when I edit, it doesn't look as bad, but right now it just looks horrible. So, all right, so let's go ahead. I got a whole stack of stuff for you tonight, and some of it may irritate you. But we're going to try to stick as much to tech as we can. If you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube, make sure you say hello. Make sure you say hi. We want to hear from you. If you're watching live, we definitely appreciate it. It always helps to see who's watching. It's greatly, greatly appreciated. Okay, so, but first and foremost, let's talk about, and I've seen rumblings of this for a while. It says how increase in remote working will affect the wage gap. And this isn't just about men and women's wage gap, which we know there is. But we know that for really the past year now, most of us have been working from home, for those of us that could do that. And I've had an office that I've had like one employee going into from time to time because he just needed a break from home. But meanwhile, I'm paying rent, you know, electricity, everything else to that goes along with running a big space for my workers down in Columbus. And we're in a lease. We can't get out of the lease. So it's without paying big. And we want to come back to the office at some point soon, of course. But, you know, I've been working here in the studio and working in, you know, my office in the front of the studio since the beginning of this as well. And we know that I've even had team members of mine relocate. They've asked for permission to move away from the city. We gave them a timeline of when we were, you know, talking about having employees back. So I've got workers really working all over the country right now. They doesn't matter. They just need their laptop, right? Monitor, something comfortable to sit down in front of. So for my company, we're going to continue to base wages out of Columbus, Ohio. We're not going to base wages out of, you know, the city that they moved to because we expect everybody to come back and be able to work in the office at some point. But some businesses are changing that. Certain tech companies are already leaving built-up industry hubs like the Silicon Valley in favor of other locations, mainly Texas. But the shift to remote work has accelerated that move. Already, American employers as a whole can save up to $30 billion a day from offering remote workers to employees. So on the side of workers, employees also save money by limiting their daily commute, along with eating up a great deal of a worker's time. Commutes incurred regular transportation expenses, gas, maintenance. Of course, my car, I'm racking up miles. I don't know why, but I am. But being able to work from anywhere also leaves a worker free to relocate. And between 14 and 23 million American workers, some have already started, but ultimately that many may move for this reason. That's up to 12%. The most likely group to relocate are city dwellers that want to find affordable housing, like New York City, San Francisco, Washington, D.C. You know, average housing costs can easily outpace average income. Moving from Palo Alto, California to Denver, Colorado can bring about an 18% decrease in the cost of living. And the main budget item that changes is housing. Now, does this mean that remote workers might get paid less? Well, again, it depends on the company. But the company Stripe has offered its workers $20,000 to cover moving expenses, followed by a 10% salary cut, and because they're allowing them to go to a lower income place. And the reason for this is part of their annual salary was designed to be able to support them in areas surrounding a company's headquarters. We use a system called PayScale at Blueberry. PayScale, you basically enter a detailed job description of someone, put in the location, and it spits out a number. Well, a wage range, 50% of medium, 100% of, you know, all these information. So once here, that allows us to set competitive salary rates for the folks that we employ. And if I change even, let's say, from Columbus to Coldwater, Michigan, the cost of living even here is much more cheaper than even Columbus. So that wage range is definitely lower. So what we see now is that with this mass migration out of the offices, companies are able to downsize their rental space. They're able to potentially lower wages because some of their employees are moving to lower cost areas. And it's true, though. If you're going to go and work in California, you're going to go in San Francisco or Silicon Valley, you know, you need $100,000 plus just to live. Really, I mean, it's that crazy expensive. It's like Honolulu or New York City. But if you move, like someone said, to Texas or to Denver or some other relatively smaller, lower income place, but still is a metropolitan area, wages in that area traditionally will not, if you leave that job, you're going to go compete for a job maybe that you are currently sitting in. The wage there is going to be lower because the economy doesn't support the higher wage. So this forecast that they're predicting here is that the American worker will stand to save between $2,500 and $4,000 per year by working from home. Again, a little bit difference on location. And of course, there's a variation of the wage gap, but the forecast is not as optimistic when it comes to well-known forms of wage gaps. Even in 2020, women made 82% as much as men, while Black men made 87% as much. So according to the AAUW, on the basis of gender and race, it continues in the new decade. While remote work may make it easier for women and racial minorities to get hired and decrease management bias against them, these factors alone not enough to fix the problem. But have you moved? Is your employer going to lower your wages because you've moved to a lower cost of living place? And retrospectively, if you have to move to a place where it's a higher cost of living, then maybe you deserve a pay raise. So Anyway, that little bit of food for thought there on what's happened with the coronavirus. So there's an article on Vice talking about how technologists are using facial recognition on the downloaded Parler archive. And they've been going through and doing facial recognition on people that attended the January 6th rally, then what happened at the Capitol. So because there's so many videos that have been posted, lots of faces, and there was actually videos of people that were there at those events that were videotaping other people. They were purposely videotaping. You could see they were very purposely going very slowly, moving to scan faces, and someone caught that. So there was a lot of facial recognition scanning going on during the rally, and then, of course, lots of video from the incursion in the Capitol. And so what's going on here is archivists, hackers, and hobbyists are continuing to mine that data for what they believe may be insightful information to provide law enforcement. It also highlights the fraught issues of facial recognition, because the information that Vice removed, there was a lot of misidentification that was going on. Some of it worked. But one of the hackers says, I've written a face recognition screener and processed about 900 Parler videos so far. I pulled out about 40,000 faces. One of the technologists claimed motherboard granted the person anonymity to speak. And so they were pulling data, including, now think about this, because you all listen to the show, you already know this. You know that video and images have associated GPS data in there. You can see where that picture was taken to a very close location. So they were able to track the movement of where these images were taken or people that were taking them, and using cross videos to be able to identify people and so forth. So they're also looking at the content of the videos taken inside the Capitol. So what this is telling us here, and this should not be any surprise, those of you that listen to the show that live in the United Kingdom, you know that you've been under facial recognition observation for a long, long time. But I can absolutely guarantee that if facial recognition wasn't already part of the Capitol security system, which I would be shocked if it wasn't or hadn't been up to this point, it will be, and I'm sure there will be a lot more cameras and surveillance in around the Capitol that will basically track you for every step that you make when you're outside. We know that the current situation in certain cities here in the United States, even as of last night, where there was riots were happening by individuals, they were wearing full face masks because they know, they've learned already that the facial recognition software is going to be able to identify them as they're doing their rioting and destructing a property and so forth. So this is going to open up an era, I believe, of everyone is probably going to have some sort of movement of where people are going to try to hide their appearance, disguise their appearance. There's probably going to be a whole series of products coming out that will try to hide people's identity. If nothing else, what we have learned here and what you all already know, having been listening to this show for a long time, is that facial recognition is being used widely in airports and other places where you're having to pass through security. And now, with the use of technology and the democratization of facial recognition software, you're pretty much tracked wherever you go. Police have been using cameras and facial recognition for a long time to identify people from security cameras and so forth. And you think about it, in this era, in this right here where I'm at, I have two cameras in front, one camera in the back. I have cameras other places where I live. And all that is going into the cloud and being stored and just a search warrant away from being able to be accessed and reviewed and to be able to determine who, what, and where of something that may have happened. So there are, I am sure, a lot of individuals that did not go to the Capitol, but went to the rally that are probably scared to death right now, because even though they didn't do anything, they peacefully demonstrated and then went back to their residence or their hotels, that they are now worried that this work is going to incriminate them and cause them grief. Now, those that went into the Capitol and did what they did, well, you know, that's a consequence. Actions have consequences. And in the modern era of everyone wanting to record everything at all time, there is an incredible, incredible amount of digital evidence that's out there. And it's been, if you think about where we have come just in the last 10 years, you can stream live on Facebook now with your cell phone. You can stream live on Twitter with your cell phone. You can stream live on YouTube with your cell phone. And it's wonderful. The images look fantastic. 10 years ago, that wasn't as easy. Times have changed. And phone quality and phone pixels and all the stuff that goes into taking great pictures for clarity, to be able to focus, specifically focus on a face and make sure that it's in focus, is what is going to cause a lot of individuals grief. Now, this is not just going to be used in political events. This is going to happen everywhere now. There's going to be, I am almost assured, that the tipping scale, probably with this event, will allow legislatures all around the country to fully endorse facial recognition and employ it in a much bigger way than they already are. And we will become a much more observed society, with every move being tracked, every image, every place we come into a camera view being identified. And at the same time, our cell phones, with this, you know, location tracking data that tracks us every inch we make, tracks the GPS position of every picture we take, stamps a video with GPS overlaying data when you shoot video. So if nothing else, this is a wake-up call for individuals to understand where we are today when it comes to the surveillance state that we are going to potentially live in. And it has went so far, it's being reported, that this face recognition data was being cross-matched on dating sites and a variety of other social media places. So to be able to identify people purely through facial recognition. So we will see what happens here. Social media posts, you know, heavily used. Facebook posts, heavily used. And it wasn't just Parler's content that was used. Every place where people were posting media, that data has been used to cross-identify people. So just a little food for thought. And I know you all already are aware of this, but I think we've hit a tipping point here. And I think that we're going to have ethical issues going forward with all this, just like anything else. So you thought you were being tracked online when you surfed the internet, thought that was bad. Your real life being on the streets. That's what I'm saying. I bet you there's going to be a big, 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 big investment in anti-facial recognition tech. People wearing sunglasses, bandanas. You may get more people wearing face masks now just because they're worried about being identified. Hats, sunglasses, and a face mask, and you know, maybe they have to use a different way to identify you. All right, going to move over here. Article from Torrent Frink: UFC to Pirates. Watch McGregor on Saturday and see what happens. During today's pre-fight press conference for UFC 257, Poirier versus McGregor, UFC President Dana White had an interesting prediction on piracy, informing journalists and thousands tuning online that we got one. He invited illegal streamers to tune in on Saturday night and see what happens. Now, definitely the UFC is not full of bluster at all. They're always, you know, being very, very calm. And, but earlier this month, UFC Dana White delivered a trademarked foul-mouthed response to a UFC fan on Instagram who said he was looking forward to pirating the next pay-per-view. And I can't even read what he said on this show because it was indeed foul-laced. But he said, you know, basically beep, 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 go ahead and try. So they might be talking and trying to scare people, but some stuff that's being pirated is very hard to track back. And if they've employed something new, I guess we'll read about it on Monday and see how it goes. Now, how many of you are UFC fans? I'm a big UFC fan, but I haven't seen a UFC fight in a while. It's pay-per-view, and, you know, it's like $80 or something like that. So I haven't really paid for one. Can't justify it. Spotify, who bought Anchor, and please, if you're listening to the show and you're thinking about starting to a podcast and you use Anchor, I'm going to disown you from the show. I want you to come over and use Blueberry. You can use my promo code Founder for 30 days free. So don't go over and use this. But, you know, some of you may be watching this on Spotify. Very, very, very few do, thank goodness. But Spotify, through Anchor, is paying podcasters tens of thousands of dollars to buy its own sponsorship tube. They're paying, and we knew this from the beginning, but didn't know how bad it was until they did an article on it today. But one of these guys said, I earned about $50 from a sponsorship from Black Tux. And on the other hand, I've been paid $2,500 to advertise Anchor. And this is a story for a lot of podcasters. Spotify has become under major financial, you know, they've been looking at Anchor, Spotify in a big way, saying how their podcasting investments of really hundreds of millions of dollars is not paying off. Now, most of the folks, and I don't want to go into too much detail here because I'll reveal stuff I probably shouldn't, you know, competitor stuff I shouldn't reveal that I know. But just before Anchor was bought by Spotify, they were almost out of money. So they tried to scale by giving away podcasting for free. And they were almost out of money, and Spotify came in and bought them. And now Spotify is having to spend hand over foot to keep the site online. And as The Verge says, the grand vision isn't panning out, and it may be, in fact, costing Anchor money to keep running. Sponsorships has become more of a marketing avenue for Spotify and to entice new creators to join its platform and keep them there. Well, here's the thing. You can podcast anywhere and be on Spotify. You don't have to be on Anchor. And Anchor was paying about $15 per thousand. And but the Anchor sponsorships ended in the second half of 2020. The money dried up, and they haven't been getting new ad deals. So this is what we're seeing. We're seeing Anchor podcasters come to us and say, hey, what can we do? What can you do for me? And we've been picking up a lot of Anchor podcasters. So we'll see. So one thing I've always told people is you don't build your castle on rented land or someone that lets you camp for free. Because as soon as someone has a new business idea, or wants to save some money or under pressure from investors, they could pull the plug. And all those shows that are getting a free ride will all of a sudden find themselves scrambling to find a place to live with their show and being on a platform that really does not allow a podcaster to build their brand. It could be an extinction event for them. But, you know, there was about 1 million new shows that joined Anchor in 2020. But just to give you a number, there's only about 400,000 active shows in the entire podcasting space. So Anchor had this huge, probably 8 out of 10 shows that started over there for free. And free is free. And free is free for a reason. And free is not an incentive to continue something. Is the reason why maybe 8 in 10 of those shows over there died. So we'll find out what happens. We're going to watch this. Analysts at Citibank sent a note to clients last week advising them to sell their Spotify stock, partly because its podcasting endeavors hasn't resulted in a meaningful uptick in premium subscribers or app downloads. Anchor has so far been a creation success story for the company. Even the podcasters all say they don't regret using the app and found it approachable. Receiving money from Anchor didn't hurt either and was like a cherry on top. But did Spotify enter the podcasting space to subsidize creators and making new shows or help itself make more money? And seeing that they cut that sponsorship stuff off in mid-2020, maybe we have the answer. So maybe they're not bleeding as red as they were. But yeah, I would like to see Anchor get the Anchor pull it all the way under. President names a new FCC acting chair and a step towards better internet access. And this gal was on the FCC before. Jessica Rosenworcel is the second woman to be appointed to an acting chair of the FCC. She was first appointed to FCC in 2012 by the former president, Barack Obama. And did she really help us then? You know, we haven't had a major improvement in the internet under any major administration, doesn't matter Republican or Democrat. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. The private sector is going to fix rural broadband for sure. And we'll see what happens. Of course, now she's an advocate of net neutrality. And she fought for students to have high-speed internet access to push them out of the homework gap, which affects roughly 40% of families whose children have difficulty completing homework assignments. And so we'll see what happens with this appointment. The FCC will dodge risk of major delays in Democrats' priorities like restoring regulation of high-speed internet service. So we'll see what happens here with this. And there's one spot remaining. We'll see who this pick could be. Lots of policy changes coming from the FCC. We'll see how that goes. How many of you ever remember Pebble? Pebble founders promised an iMessage on Android and Windows with universal chat app. This is going to be called Beeper. Beeper brings 15 chat apps together into one interface, and it attempts to unify the different chat platforms. The app is the work of a team that included the CEO and founder of former smartwatch manufacturer Pebble. And then, but Beeper integrates the world's most popular messaging apps like WhatsApp, Signal, Telegram, Slack, Twitter, Discord, Instagram, and Facebook Messenger. So here's the thing. Why would you consolidate all of your messy stuff through a single app? What are they doing with that data? What is that? How is that going to help us on privacy? Many folks have went to Telegram. They've moved to that messaging platform. Signal as well. So I don't know if I want to use a single app that integrates all my messaging into one. To me, that seems a little bit, makes me a little bit nervous. Time will tell. And they're doing some sort of workaround, again, for Android as well. So time, we'll see. We will see. Oh, here's the full list of chat services that Beeper currently supports. WhatsApp, Facebook, Messenger, iMessage, Android Message, Telegram, Twitter, Slack, Hangouts, Instagram, Skype, IRC, Matrix, Discord, Signal, and Beeper Network. That's a pretty impressive list for a consolidated messaging app. If anybody uses this, let me know how it works out. Again, it's called Beeper, B-E-E-P-E-R, 15 chat apps into one. If you're one of the few people using Microsoft Edge, it's going to notify you if your passwords have been compromised, and it will do it while preventing anyone from seeing your credentials. So even if you use a password manager and two-factor authentication, there's a good chance some of your login credentials have been exposed in the past thanks to hacks and leaks. Microsoft introduced a new feature in Edge called Password Monitor, so you don't have to turn to a website like Engadget to find out one of your passwords has been compromised. The next time one of your passwords you have saved to Edge is included in a third-party data breach, you'll be notified to change it. In that way, you can minimize any potential damage, particularly if you've reused that password anywhere else. Now, Chrome and Firefox have offered similar functionality for the past few years, as has have password managers like 1Password and LastPass. I actually didn't know that. What makes the Microsoft offer intriguing then is the using a relative new type of approach called homomorphic encryption to ensure that no one at the company nor any other party can find out your password. All right, so it goes into the details on how it's supposedly encrypting the password that stores on your computer more effectively. Mike said Trillion did this eons ago. Is that, I guess that's a messaging app? I didn't know. Mike, thanks so much. Appreciate the feedback. And to everyone else that's watching the stream, thanks for saying hello. Hey, a judge will not order Amazon to keep hosting Parler on its cloud service. A Seattle court rejects Parler's request for an order requiring Amazon Web Services to reinstate the social media platform. So no legal precedent for a court to order a company to host content that the company said violated its terms of service. So that's that. So is the season to charge devices? And I'm due to buy a couple of battery chargers. Many of my devices now need the higher charge rates. And so USB-C is really what we need for speed. And they've got a whole list of Android Central does have, and I wish I could show, I almost flipped to the screen. I wish I could show you these, but of course, Anchor and AllKey and RavPower are leading the pack with some of the bigger ones and more popular ones. But there's a whole list here. It'll be in the show notes tonight that you can check out on best USB-C portable chargers and power banks for 2021. I should have grouped this with the other Parler thing, but a House Oversight Chair has asked the FBI to investigate Parler. They want to they're asking for an official investigation. So Carolyn Maloney, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, I'm writing a request as part of its comprehensive investigations of the January 6th assault on the Capitol. The Federal Bureau of Investigation conducted a robust examination of the role that social media site Parler played in the assault, including potential facilitators of planning incited related to the violence. Now, here's something that's interesting. You always knew that there was no private groups in Parler. Every post was public. There was no way to send private messages. You do understand that everything there was public. So while they're asking for this investigation, why don't we ask them to look at Facebook and all these other social sites too, which admittedly had all kinds of activity going on. So that's the thing that's interesting here. They downloaded nearly the entire archive of the site. Do you think they found what they think they would be able to find that relatively easy, considering they're doing facial recognition on all the images and videos? So how hard is it to scan for text? So what say you about all this? where do you think they should investigate? Geeknews@gmail.com. TikTok pilots a question and answer feature. We know that TikTok now is probably very safe. They will no longer be the threat of being removed from the U.S. app stores with the change in administration. But TikTok pilots Q&A feature that lets creators easily answer questions. Currently, only public creators with over 10,000 followers have access to this feature. So, okay. So if you're a super user on TikTok, you'll be able to do Q&As. I already talked about this. Close that. It's a duplicate. I'm doing my own show prep tonight. Apple TV. Well, Apple TV Plus claims a meager 3% market share in the United States. And of course, Apple TV was supposed to be Apple's answer to streaming service like Netflix, Hulu, and Disney. Here's the problem. I'm going to tell you exactly why Apple TV is failing. You need an Apple TV. Every smart TV sold right now has Netflix, has Amazon Prime, has Hulu, has CBS, has all this stuff already on the TV. If you don't have a smart TV, maybe the Apple TV is the way to go. But majority of us probably have a smart TV already and don't need to use the Apple TV. So in order for Apple to compete, they're going to have to bring the Apple TV app to Google, to Roku, to all those platforms so that it can get some mainstream exposure without having to have that brick. I've got a Netflix device that's in my bag. If I ever travel again, but I go into hotels now and they've got Netflix already in the rooms. You have to sign in and authenticate, but if you're going to be there for a week, big deal, right? Sign into Amazon Prime in most hotel rooms now too. So this is the problem, is you have to have an Apple TV. Netflix is still dominating the U.S. market with a 31% market share. Amazon Prime comes in at 22%, Hulu at 14%, Disney Plus at 13%, HBO Max managed 9%. And I would almost bet many of you have Netflix, have Amazon Prime, have Hulu, and have Disney Plus. Many of you have all of those. And Apple TV giving away more free time, it tells you they're in big, big, big trouble. Now, there is a little bit of activity going on. The Democrats are pushing Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for anti-radicalization changes after the Capitol attack. The House is pushing forward to combat misinformation. I thought they had a big plan for misinformation already. Didn't Facebook and all them do that? Wasn't that all the things they were supposed to do before the election? I know they were killing. I mean, it was post after post after post after post after post that was on Facebook that was flagged, taken down. I mean, we all saw it. We all saw stuff scrolling through Facebook and it all had disclaimers, had this. They did a huge amount of work to the point of people were thinking that they were censoring maybe stuff that was actually true. So Representative Anna Ishu of Democrat California and Tom Malinowski, a Democrat of New Jersey, along with a dozen of other members, called for companies to make sweeping changes to platforms to curb violent and extremist activities on their networks. They're not going to send in the FBI to look at Facebook and Twitter and YouTube? What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? Rick says, I have a Roku. Why would I want an Apple TV? Now, Bitcoin. Let's talk about Bitcoin. Holy crap. Bitcoin has been on like this rocket ship. So if you invested in some Bitcoin last year, congratulations. Well, Bitcoin is helping middle-class users survive the pandemic. And this is, raised my eyebrows a little bit when I read this. There are trade sanctions in place where a company is not allowed to do business in certain countries, specifically Iran. If you're in the United States, you're not specifically supposed to hire international firms, companies, individuals. I don't know all the rules, but companies are getting around this by paying for people through Bitcoin. So check this out. Even as politicians like European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde criticizes cryptocurrency providing loopholes used for funny business, people like Saeed, an Iranian immigrant to France, see cryptocurrency as a necessity because of the difficulty using mainstream financial systems. Until 2020, Saeed, who asked to be identified only by his first name, was a software engineer in Iran whose salary barely reached the 300 euro mark due to rampant inflation. In 2017, he started freelancing for international clients that paid him in Bitcoin. By September 2020, he finally saved enough Bitcoin to go to graduate school in France. However, the pandemic made his immigration process much harder. I passed all the strange bureaucracy and to get a course in France last September with only 1,000 euros in my pocket. See, said HSBC, Banque Nationale, De Paris, La Banque Postale all rejected me, declined to open a bank account. I finally found a bank after a month. In the meantime, he used Bitcoin. Many people in Iran are working with European tech companies and getting paid in Bitcoin. Saeed thinks that Lagarde represents bankers and government interests, not average citizens who are happy to work with him. He said stricter regulations would make his access to the financial system more consuming. Now, I've been watching all kinds of YouTube videos, and I keep seeing all these expats that are working overseas, and they are asking specifically, and they're talking about it in their videos, pay me in Bitcoin. And the reason for this is they're having such trouble getting money out of an American bank into whatever country they're in, bank transfer, have to go through all kinds of bureaucracy. Sometimes they're there not under a permanent visa. They're there maybe under an extended tourist visa or whatever, and they can't open a bank account. And then after a amount of time, they're having trouble using their ATM card, on and on and on. So these folks are all asking to be paid in Bitcoin. And now they can pay for Airbnbs, they can pay for hotels, they can pay for Uber rides. All this with Bitcoin. So, you know, Bitcoin, though, can be a form of gambling. Just be aware, what's up can come down. It's just like the stock market. It's like foreign currency, you know, because one day you go to the foreign currency window exchange money and you get 240 yen to the dollar. And then you go back the next day and you get 100 yen for the dollar. And I know that the yen's not been at 240 in a long time, but you get my point. So when you get ready to cash out your Bitcoin and use it, the value can do this, right? And you know, the key is, you know when to hold them and when, you know, when not when to show them, right? So be worried or be careful here. But Many middle-class hobbyist traders have incurred life-changing amounts of wealth over the past year, usually by experimenting with, you know, trading Bitcoin. He says Bitcoin's price appreciation, this gentleman, Saeed, says Bitcoin's price appreciation is helping them get through a period of abysmal job markets and intermittent lockdowns. People don't need to live in a dictatorship or country suffering from high inflation to benefit Bitcoin. Yeah, because he's triple, quadrupled, you know, 5-6 times. Over the year, Bitcoin donations have gained popularity as well. So people are donating to extremist groups. And people are donating to all kinds of organizations. So anyway, Bitcoin, it's an interesting way to move your money. Link will be up in the show notes. Also, I don't normally recommend a podcast to listen to on this show because I really don't want you going anywhere. But Ars Technicast, Special Edition Part 1, The Internet of Things Goes to War. It's a two-part limited edition podcast on the connected battle space. I'm very interested in this. I'm going to definitely listen to this particular episode. It's 31 minutes. Link will be in the show notes for you to check out. Also, if you live in Britain and you were given a laptop by the British Department of Education, well, defective laptop supplied to schools under the government's Get Help with Technology scheme, which started last year, came bundled with a malware. And basically, 23,000 computers running Windows 10 made by Shenzhen headquartered Tactus Group contained the units that were loaded with malware, and they all called home to Russia. Yep, and they've been connected to the network. It's a propagating malware. You plug it into the network at home, guess what it does? It infects the other machines. So, 23,000 machines shipped with malware on it, of course, coming from China. From Shenzhen. Surprised? Surprise, surprise, surprise. Get into your house through a Chinese computer. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Why weren't those computers scanned? Why didn't they have antivirus on it? It's a good question. Space Cowboys at Intel, legendary chip designer comes out of retirement. Glenn Hinton, an Intel senior fellow, has been persuaded to come out of retirement by the new incoming CEO, Pat Gleisner, the prior CEO of VMware. And he's going to work on a new CPU project. Dun, dun, dun. They have to do something. I wonder how much he's being paid. They have to do something because they're losing, guess who, as a client? Apple. They got to make some inroads. They got to do something big here. And of course, Space Cowboys is a Warner Brothers movie, which a group of retiree astronauts were the only people capable of getting a job done at NASA. So we have a space cowboy pulled out of retirement. Glenn Hinton. Have no clue who this dude is. The first CubeSat with a Hall effect thruster has gone to space. A cool story from the folks at Universe Today. And I watched the video. And my eyes crossed a little bit. Definitely some real scientific dude talking about this thruster and how it works. It's about the size of a soda bottle. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. And with that, that's going to wrap me up for today and getting content put together for you. I think, let me look at email. Let me get to the right tab here. I believe I got a few things for you. Oh, come on now. One thing about this bug with the one company, it's okay. So I got an email from Shelby. Hey Todd, these days it doesn't feel like we'll ever leave our houses, and while some of our normal lives are returning in dribs and drabs, there's still a great way to go before we're all frequenting restaurants, shops, and other businesses. The data experts at ZenReach have released a recent walkthrough data that shows how infrequently we are visiting our old haunts. For instance, in January 2020, there were 2.4 million visits to restaurants among participating locations. The number in December 2020 was just 706,000. Well, it definitely wasn't in this state. It must have been in Florida because they got zero. Nightclubs and bars are faring just as badly. Visits down 75%. Hotel visits are down 2/3. I'm going to tell you. You want to do a little staycation somewhere? Go check a hotel price. If you just want to go across the state or someplace to go visit locally, if there's something open that you've wanted to see for years that you can't, hotel prices are at rock bottom. Rock bottom. And it's wild. It's really wild. So if you want to do something, go check. But it also says retail establishments are faring a bit better, only down 1/3. Depending on the state here, Shelby, this state, we're still locked. The restaurants are still locked down. Fast food is booming. And there's going to be a, because fast food has been the only option, there, when restaurants and stuff open up, there is going to be a backlash. those fast food joints are going to suffer because we're all sick of them. We don't have options here in this town at all. No options. And many of you in bigger cities probably are faring better, but Burger King, McDonald's, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, Arby's, what else? That's it. We get a B-dubs, but you can't eat chicken wings every day of the week. So anyway, thanks for that, Shelby. I appreciate it. I got an email here. Okay, I already read that one. All right, if you have comments about today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, locust.org. Dan, I did not. Thank you for reminding me. I'm going to definitely check that out. I apologize. Just way too much stuff going on with everything that I do. And this has been today I had two 30-minute open spots of break. I walked out of the office at 5:30. I basically took a 30-minute combat nap. I got up and I've done the show, had the show ready to go by 7. It's now just about 8 p.m. here in Michigan. I'll get done and I'll probably be at the house by 9. And I did eat lunch. My mom was able to get lunch in and I was able to eat lunch today, but no dinner yet. So I'm starving. But yeah, it's been crazy. Tomorrow, not much better. One thing is for sure. I am having no issues staying busy. I am trying to sleep more. And it's just, it's the name of the game. But I got a very, 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 very busy weekend coming up with projects. So anyway, that's okay. It's life, right? Nothing else to do. No place to go. Just it is what it is. Come on, let's get these vaccines going. I want a shot so I can get my travel passport. Ha, 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 ha. It's like that's going to help anything. So anyway. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Comments today, geeknews@gmail.com. That's the place to send them. And yes, 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 the Insider Program. If you want to be part of the Insider Podcast, it's kind of weird because Blueberry has a show called Podcast Insider. So I got to be careful. This is the Insider Program for Geek News Central, the Insider Podcast, private podcast. You want to be part of that family, all you got to do is start becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25. You can make one-time donations as well. We had one of those come in. So it's okay. We'll take what we can get. We appreciate your support. But we definitely encourage people to be on a monthly subscription for this. We're not going to make it a hard requirement, but we do appreciate when you're on at least a minimum of $2 a month. I hope I'm worth 6.7 cents a day. Otherwise, thank you, everyone, for coming on, watching. Those of you who made comments, we'll see you next time. We'll see you back here on Monday for another edition of the Geekness Central Podcast. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.